I want you to grab your Bibles just for a moment. And I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. And we've been in a series called Homework. I'm going to let you sit down in just a moment. But we've been in the series called Homework. We're talking about the family. And when I start talking about family, everybody just goes zones out. Boo. I'm single. Don't ever want to be married. Don't want to get married. I don't want children like my next door neighbor's kids. I don't want it. This is not for me. I want you to hear something real quick. Last week I said, so goes the person. So goes the home. So goes the home. So goes the nation. The family is a microcosm of the nation. And when we ignore the homework of the Word of God that created the family, and we ignore what He says, we don't have a homework, we have a home wreck. Individually, your family domestically, and you'll even have it nationally. So this is all connected. So when you say family series, I'm out, I'm 23, don't want nothing to do with that. Don't zone out, because things will be a home wreck in your life if you don't do your homework. But when you do your homework, your home works. Unity, joy, peace. Doesn't mean it's exempt of conflict, but God shows you how to make the damaged things be restored. And how many of you want that? Amen? Okay, so now I'm really going to throw you a curveball, and you're going, okay, now I'm really out. But you give me the next few weeks to unpack this, and you're going to see your life work in a way with blessing you never seen before. So here's God's word to families. You ready for this? Colossians 3:18. Wives, submit to your husbands. Okay, now I know some of you just about passed out. Just hang with me over these weeks, and you're going to learn some homework that's going to bless your life, as is fitting for those who belong to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and never, never treat them harshly. Never. Children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not aggravate your children, or they will become discouraged. If you will study the depth of this and understanding this and go on a journey with me, you're going to see so much favor and blessing come into your individual life, not only now, but in the future. Whether you're married, single, wherever you are in your stage of life, you're going to see the favor of God. Amen? Let's do our homework. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to go to school. Come on, amen. And you can be seated in the house of God. Thank you for standing for so long. Okay, a lot of people have expectation of family, okay? A lot of people have expectations. And I think these are, you know, it's nice to have goals and desires, but I think we need to reevaluate our expectation of family and even our own personal life. I think everybody wants our kids to make straight A's. You're going to go to high school, you're going to go to college, or find you some kind of trade in the marketplace. And after you make straight A's, you're going to get a good job. You're going to marry somebody good looking so you make the family proud. Because we want good looking grandkids. Okay? And if I get married, Pastor, here's what I want to marry. I want a husband that's a great dad that's successful at what he does in life. Everybody at the workplace, the neighborhood, the church, or wherever they are, just admire him. And above all else, he must be cool. He must be very cool. And if he has downloaded the Grand Rapids First app, he is very cool. Download the app. And it would be really nice if he wasn't just admirable and successful and cool. It would be really cool if my husband already was trained to put down the toilet seat. That would be so cool. And then guys have this expectation. When I want a wife, I want her to be smoking hot all the time. She must be dressed to the nines. She must always have makeup on. She needs to be a great cook, keep a neat house, answers to all my beck and call. And then when I want her to get out of the way, I want her to stand out of the way. A lot of us put expectations on families, and there's a lot of frustration. But here's the deal. Family members simply don't live up to those expectations that we see in others and we impose on others, and then we have frustration, and then we have blow-ups. Remember, it is a microcosm of what you see in the home is what you see in a nation, and even what's happening in a lot of individuals' lives. This what is the real expectation? You know, it's kind of like the little boy who never spoke for the first 6 years. Never spoke. Never said a word. And his parents decided they're going to give him some hot cocoa, and all of a sudden they gave him some hot cocoa, and for the all of a sudden he just blurted out, "This hot cocoa tastes awful." And they were just excited that he said something. They just went raving. They couldn't believe it. They couldn't say. They said, "Why did you take so long to say something?" He says, "Well, up till now, everything was okay." Well, what's flaring up in your home or your personal life, or even as a single person that's flaring up in relationships, is an indicator that everything is not okay. And maybe the reason it's not okay is because you've allowed the culture to put an expectation on you that God never intended. How am I doing? I can't hear you, so I need to come down just a little closer, but I'll stay 6 feet away from you. Friends, can I just tell you that God, if you can narrow this down, God only has one expectation for your family. One. Many times we get so many things that they got to be this, they got to be funny, they got to be, and I get all that. I get all that. God wires you. I get all that. But if you can narrow it down, your life and your family, to one thing, you'll be a success and the glory of God will be seen through you. Here's only one desire and expectation God has for your family and you. And here it is. You ready? You write it down. Those of you watch online, write it down. Get this down. God's desire for the family is to glorify Him. You know, as a pastor, I have a lot of people pull on me. As a leader, those of you that run organizations get what I'm talking about. But especially when you deal with people who come voluntarily. And so many times you're needing people's approval of who you are, lest if they don't approve of who you are or what you say, they will abandon you. And so many people are addicted to that approval, and they never become what God wants them to truly be. And here's the bottom line. I like people to like me. I hope my wife likes me. I want her to stick around a long time. But the bottom line is there's only one person you need approval from, and that's God. Whether people enter your life or exit your life, glorify God. Glorifying God means I'm going to follow Him. Glorifying means I'm going to obey Him. I'm going to do that. You say, well, Pastor, how do we glorify Him in our family? How do I glorify Him as a husband? Whether you have children or you don't have children, how do I glorify Him? Well, here's how. Colossians chapter 3, and you can't ignore it because some people shudder at the word of submit, and you never treat your wife harshly, and kids obey, and people just shudder at that. But let me explain something. Here's what Colossians 3 is trying to say. When everyone, especially those of you that are Jesus, when everyone understands their role in the family and their responsibility to the family, and then they fulfill that role and they do that responsibility, God is glorified, not just to make you happy and have peace in your home, but there's a world out there that is spinning out of control that is looking to you. That in your chaos, in the brokenness maybe of your family, in your blended family, and you're trying to figure all this out and the mistakes you made, that somehow when I get back to what does that mean to glorify God, the world starts saying, that's what I want. How many of you know God is for our families? Come on, he wants Sam Reichel to succeed in his family. He wants your family to be successful. He wants the world to see it, folks, more than you want it. Let me give you just two things this morning. First, what you see is that God has great affection for your family. He loves your family. He loves it. Even with some of the dysfunction that all of us have some kind of dysfunction in our families. But with it, He really loves your family. Even in the midst of its mistakes and failures, he loves your family. He has a great affection for your family. And let me prove it to you. Go all the way back to the first chapter in the Bible, okay? Go to the first book in the Bible, and here's what you're going to find. You're going to find God focused on family. Now, if you think about that, why wouldn't he be focused on family? Look at what he did. He was the one who created the first home. God was the first one who performed a marriage. God was the first one who brought the first child into the world. God did that. And when you create something, how many know you don't want nobody touching that? You want nobody destroying that. When you create something, you have an affection, a love for that. How many know what I'm talking about? That's why you love your kids so much. You love your grandkids even more because they got them and then they get to go home. It's just great. Now, why would God do this? Do you know why God created human beings to begin with? Do you know why he created you, young lady, in the first place? Do you know why you, this is why life is holy and sacred. Do you know why he created you as a human being on this earth? Do you know why? I'll tell you the reason why. Because God wanted his own family. He created it. In fact, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, okay? All of you at home, go to Ephesians 1, 5, okay? Join us, go there, okay? And I want you to look at this. It says, his unchanging plan has always been to adopt us. All right, I'm not feeling the power of this scripture. I think you're going to feel the power of this scripture if you'll say it out loud with me, okay? And where you see the word us, I want you to use the word me, okay? All right, wherever you see us, say me. So I want everybody to join us, everybody at home. When we get to us, you say me and say it out loud together as a family or if you're by yourself. You ready? Here we go. Ready? His unchanging plan has always been to adopt me into his own family by bringing me to himself through Jesus Christ, and this gave him great pleasure. Come on, everybody. How many know God is for you and your family? This was his whole setup. This is why he sent Jesus. This is why Jesus died. See, when God wants me and wants you to honor him, follow his word, even in our mistakes, even in our failures, and to worship him for one reason. Because he wants his kids to reign with him. He wants us to rule with him. This is the affection, the love God has for the family, but not just your family. Listen, he says this is about you. This whole setup was God wanted you. The whole reason he put on skin and let men spit in his face and crucify him and brutally kill him was because he wanted you, ma'am. He wanted you, sir. Come on, how many of you thank God? See, some of you don't feel that because you weren't even wanted by your own parent. Your mom may have walked out on you. Your dad may have walked out on you. You may say, I don't even know who my real parents are. And so that is your whole lens of how you're looking at your life. But God says, I never walked out on you. I walked into the sin. I walked into the chaos. I let him crucify me because all I wanted was a family. It was all about you. How many of you just want to start praising God right now, right here or right at home? You ought to just start praising God. He has an affection for you. He's crazy about your family. Your son right now that's gone off into a lifestyle that you say I have no control, he loves that young man. He's so in love with your daughter who's made all the wrong decisions. He loves them and he doesn't want you to lose your love for them because it's what he wanted was a family. Okay, let me give you the last. Seriously, the last point. Did you just say wow, Brenda? My wife just said wow. I'm glad you at home didn't hear that. You didn't hear that. So if that's God's affection and love, and he wants to show his glory, then what was God's agenda for the family? What was God's plan so that his glory could be seen? You understand, as an individual, this is my role, this is my responsibility to my family, And when I fulfill those roles and responsibilities, God's glory starts being seen to me, to a world who thinks it's all chaos. My family can never be made whole. My life can never be restored. You're showing them they are truly adopted by the Father. And that's why he's called the Father, because he wants a family. Okay? So God's plan for the family, friends, watch this, hasn't changed since that first chapter in the first book of the Word of God called Genesis. Hasn't changed. Now, I will acknowledge that the family has changed here in America. The definition of the family has changed in America. Okay? But God has not changed, and he's not changed his mind about how much he loves you and what he really wants you to be blessed in. Okay, can I just say that? He hasn't changed his mind. Now, let me explain that. There is a massive effort, and in a few days, I'll be around on this planet Earth for 60 years. Okay? 60 years. I know, doesn't look it one bit, does it? You think I'm lying? It's just a lot of hair product. That's really what it is. It's just a lot of hair product keeping the gray away. But there is a massive effort in our culture, not just in America, but around the world, a massive, intense effort to redefine the family. Now, those of you that are watching me online, I don't want to lose you on this. Stay with me. There may be some of you in here that differ with what I'm going to say, but this is not my idea. This is the one who created us and created this plan of blessing. It was his idea, and all I know is that when something is broken in my car, I don't pull through the drive-thru at McDonald's and ask someone who's a pro at burgers to come fix the ignition system. I don't go to the unknowing for knowledge. I go to the people who manufactured and created that vehicle, who made it fearfully, wonderfully intricate. I want to go to them, not someone who thinks they can tell me what needs to happen, and they decide they want to be a mechanic when they're really only good at burgers. So you can apply that in everywhere. You go to the ones who know best who created it. So please know my heart that when I talk about this, I don't hate people. I don't care who they are. I am called to love them and serve them and meet them at their point of need. Okay? That's what this church is called. I know there are some Christians that are not that way. I'm sorry for them. I feel sorry for them and for people who run into that. We are called to love people, but also, let me tell you, it is not love for a doctor who knows you have cancer, knows the treatment, but doesn't want you to have to go through chemotherapy and losing your hair and vomiting. He doesn't want you to go through that, and because he doesn't want you to feel the pain of that, he doesn't tell you what can really cure you, because it's gonna hurt you. It's gonna hurt you at first. That's not a kind, loving doctor. That is the cruelest doctor in the world that will let you die when he there is a cure, but there's a pain that will actually heal you. So please understand my heart. Don't check out on me right now, because the one who created you and says, I have so much blessing you, has not changed his definition of what he intended. Because there's are those that are saying in our culture, and you might even be in here, that two dads and two moms are just as acceptable as one man, one woman, one husband, one wife is just as acceptable and just as blessed as one man and one woman. And I get that. But God has not changed his definition, folks. And I know that for me to say this in this culture is very counterculture now. But I love people's souls too much to seek their approval of me and them not get the real blessing God intended for humanity. I'm not gonna back up. I will not back up because I love them. I love you. I love you. And I hope you'll get my heart and you'll hear this out, because I welcome anybody to this church. But I'd be a cruel doctor if I knew there was a cure. But I'm so afraid of your pain to walk through the healing, because I really wanted your approval more than I wanted your eternity and what's best for you. I'd be the cruelest preacher on the planet Earth. God hasn't changed his plan. He never has changed his plan. And Colossians 3 teaches, now listen closely, what it's teaching is that husbands and wives functioning as mom and dad, he wanted them to grow great kids for God in that home. Now, we don't live in an unrealistic world, friends. Because I'm telling you, when the family is broken, there is nothing more painful when a marriage breaks. It feels like, listen, the folks I've walked with, even in my own family, it feels like a death has happened. It is the most painful thing, and the last thing they need is some brow-beaten Christian to act like somehow you didn't have it together, and now everything's falling apart, and God will never bless you again. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Come on. That's a lie. That's a lie. And there are many people here today that have experienced the pain of broken homes, and some of you through no fault of your own. Some of you through no fault of your own. And now you're living with this, but I'm telling you something. Your home can be, your home is every bit as special to God as someone who has a mom and dad intact. It is every bit as special and can ever be blessed, every bit as be blessed as a family that's in. Are you hearing me? I want you to hear that clearly. Don't mess this up. Hear it clearly. Hear it clearly. Because you know the pain of it. But how many know that's the business Jesus is into, is resurrecting, restoring, and redeeming the things that you thought you'd lost. Because you need the family of God. What God is trying to show is something special. And there may be even some of you that when I come to teach about families and children, you're a husband and wife and you've been married and you've been wanting to have children and it seems like you can't have children. You wonder what God's doing to me. There's some of you that are single and chosen and never marry. And you say, well, where's my place in this? You got to understand, this is the family of God. Can I just say this? We need spiritual moms and dads to stand by families, especially moms and dads who are single trying to raise their kids by themselves. We need you more than ever to come around them. And I'll tell you, I know I'm talking, because I was raised by a single parent most of my life. Some of you know my story, some of you don't know my story. But my dad was tragically killed with my two brothers in the same vehicle, one pinned in the car with my dad died of internal injuries, my brother in a body cast for 8 months of his life, couldn't even go to my father's funeral. My other brother, Al, just so traumatized by his own dad dying in front of his eyes, and my mom at 40 years of age had to raise 7 kids all by herself, the oldest one in college and the youngest one 6 years old. And I'm telling you, it was tough for my mom. It was tough. It was brutal. There was times she would weep and I couldn't understand it. But I want to tell you one thing I do remember. I remember the people in our church, married and single, the youth pastors that would come over and put their arm around me and put their arm around my siblings and say, we're walking the journey with you. I remember men in our church that would, Lyle Wooders, gave me a dime at 12 years, just handed me a dime. We had pay phones back then. So for those of you, I'm 60, pay phones, okay? I was 12 years old and Lyle gave me a dime, put it in my hand. I'll never forget it. He knew I needed a dad and I didn't have a dad. He said, Sam, I went with him on every trip with his family. They invited me in, gave me a dime. And he said, Sam, I don't care how old you are or wherever you are, if you're ever in trouble, I want you to call me. And come get you, I will find you, I will help you out no matter where you are. I'll never forget Lyle Wooders. He was a carpenter, worked at the train depot. He wasn't a preacher. He'd never been to Bible college. He was just a man in the church that looked for other young men in the church that needed a father figure in their life. The youth pastors that held me up, the ladies in the church that would undergird my mom and pray and to walk with the girls. Can I tell you, we need more of you singles volunteering to walk beside our children over there, that a mom and dad who's trying to raise myself, there's that voice beside them. We need you to volunteer. We need moms and dads that are retired and grandmas and grandpas, and you're saying, no, 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 it's just time for me to retire, sit by the lake house. This is what, great, that's awesome. But I tell you what, why don't you give some time to pour into a young man, a young lady, somewhere, not even in this church. Go be a mentor at Cesar Chavez with us, with mentors that go in there every single week and sit with kids. Mentor them and train them and reach them. How many believe we have something as the family of God to give others who need a mom and dad? We can do that. Come on, get involved. Get involved. Because God's blessing, listen closely, God's blessing can happen in any family, whether it's led by a dad and a mom, or a single parent, or a blended family. God can give his blessing and grace and glory through it if we'll just follow God's instruction. That's all he wants us to do. He'll bless it. But we got to listen. And sometimes it's painful. But he has a plan because he's the one that created your family. It was his idea. And you say, now, Pastor, as we get deeper into this, we'll talk more about husbands, wives, young people, singles, what you need to be looking for, those kind of things. But I can tell you, not only God's, but I can 100% tell you what God's purpose is for your family. 100% unequivocally, I can tell you I know what God's plan is, not just for your family. I know what God's purpose is for your life, 100%. I can tell you today. I can tell you today what it is. In fact, I can tell you everything God created on this planet, what his purpose was. What was God? That's God's plan, and he wants to bless it. But what is his ultimate purpose? What is the purpose? My life as a young man, a young lady, a senior citizen, married, single, blended family. What is God's absolute purpose? I'm going to unequivocally 100% give it to you today. You ready? Don't miss it. Everybody ready? Listen, Romans 11, 36. You ready for this? For everything. Everybody say everything. For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is in for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen. Period. So here's the deal. God created the stars, the planets, the birds of the air, the fish, the sea, the animals, you and me. He created for one reason, his glory. Everything, birds, animals, all created. Now, I got some questions about some of the things he created. Okay. It happens every time this year. I have no idea why he created mosquitoes. I have no idea. I hate them. I kill them the minute I get them. I have no idea why he created moles. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't cuss, but when they tear up a yard, I write it on a piece of paper. I tell you, I don't get it. The reason why the Father, listen to the family terms, he is into you. He is into you being blessed. He's into the things you and I have messed up. Now, I know some of you got perfect families, and you all come to church, and everything's together, and each one of your kids is lined up, and they got a big old Bible on one knee and a Strong's Exhaustive Concordance on the other, cross-referencing my material, looking for the Greek and the Hebrew, and your kids all graduated, and everything's good. In the perfect neighborhood, I get it. But some of us have some mess ups and some dysfunctions. Just bear with us. We'll attain your height and glory one day. Now I've really lowered the bar for everybody. Amen. Just listen to these words. The reason why God the Father sent Jesus Christ the Son, do you hear the family terms, to this planet, are you ready for this, is to save you and me from the greatest sin we commit. And you know what the greatest sin is? Not adultery. It's not fornication. The greatest sin we do is we fail to give him glory in our lives that he deserves, because he is the one that fearfully and wonderfully created you, and we can ignore him. We fail to give him glory. We fail to give him glory, listen, in the way we deal with our We fail to give him glory in how he created us as sexual beings and to understand that sexuality. We fail him even in our economic systems. We fail to bring his kingdom into issues. Look, you even look at the issues of racism in our culture. We fail to bring the issues of the kingdom into that culture. Every issue. The reason the Father sent the Son was to save you, sir, to save you, ma'am, to save you, young lady, from your greatest failure, and it is to give God the glory he deserves. And don't think because I'm preaching it that I'm the only one that has given him glory. Because Romans 3:23 says, for all, including Sam Raffkogel, have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've missed the mark to say, God, I bring your word and your agenda into this issue of my life because you deserve my glory. So that your glory, God, can be seen by the hurting and the broken. Say, if God can do that for Sam Raffkogel, then he can do it for me. Look what God did for their family. He can do it for me. Look how God took my brokenness, and if he can do it for me, them, he can do it for me. I'm going to ask you some questions here. All right, you're going to think I'm just crazy and I've lost my marbles here because it didn't seem like it makes any sense at this point of the message. But trust me, I know what I'm doing. I'm an expert. Don't do this at home by yourself. I'm an expert. I've been trained in this. How many of you know the following organizations? Okay. How many have ever heard of these people? These people, Jack Tinker and Partners. Anybody know Jack Tinker and Partners? Okay. How about BBDO? Not B-O, BBDO. Anybody? You know the people or the organization? All right. How about Foot, Cone, and Belding? You're going to attorneys at law. No. Foot, Cone, or Belding. Anybody know? Nobody have a clue? Okay. Well, let me try this. See if you recognize. You might even be able to finish what I'm getting ready to say. And let me see if you can figure this out, okay? All right, ready? So I need you. I need volume from home, volume from you, and volume from you if you can help me finish, okay? So here we go. Ready? See if you can finish this. All ready? Now, it's going to date some of us young people, so you just hang with us, okay? Here we go. Ready? Plop, plop, fizz, fizz, oh. You know that? How did you know that? Well, let me tell you, Jack Tinker and Associates were the ones that started that slogan in 1976. Jack Tinker and Associates. You know Jack Tinker and Associates, but you know plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Okay, how about this one? Good. Good. That's what since 1935, a company called BBDO came up with that line. Good. That's it. That's kind of like Jim Gaffigan up there with Hot Pockets. You know, that's it. That's all you got. How about this one? Let me see if you can finish it. Come on, let me see if you can finish it. When you care enough to send. Hallmark began using that line in 1934 by a company called Foot, Cone, and Belding, those three people. And now today, we have the cheesiest channel out of 5,000 channels with the goofiest, same plot. Every Christmas, the same plot from that line. Don't hate me, girls, please. I'm not preaching on offense today. Don't hate me. Amen. Brenda wanted me to announce that on Friday nights, they're showing Christmas music. God bless you. All right. Let me make my point here. Jack Tinker and Partners, BBDO, Foot, Cone, and Belding. Advertising agencies do not exist to make a name for themselves. You didn't even know who they were. That company existed for one reason, young lady. One reason, sir. They existed to make somebody else's name great. That's why they exist. And so many times we want to be God and we want what we want, and I want to be God. I want people to know me. Look at our culture. Oh my goodness. Everybody's got their stinking camera on their phone to become, want to be some internet sensation because they want to be known. We strive for it. We reach for it. We listen to everybody else in the culture that makes us think, what makes a real successful man? What makes a successful woman? What really makes me a father? What really makes me a man? When I finally drink my first beer, smoke my first cigarette, and sleep with some woman, then I'll be a man. I mean, look at the culture. Look at the culture. Because I want to make myself great. I want to feel loved. The purpose of the advertising company is not to give a name for themselves, young man. Not so they can finally say, I've acquired this amount of money and I finally got the job on the land. Those are all good things. But they all go back to one thing. I want the glory of God to be seen out of everything that he gives me and shows me. Your life, young lady, should reflect and exist for one purpose. That your lost friend that's headed to an eternity without God in eternal destruction somehow sees how God took you and turned you into his daughter and calls you by name and by his word starts restoring things back to you thought you could never have. The reason you exist, young man, is that somehow the culture out there that is lost and spinning out of control will see the glory in God and how you bring the kingdom God into your life and into every issue of your life. And they say, there's something about her. There's something about him. It even affects their work ethic. They don't show up 10 minutes late. They're here early and asking the boss, what can I do? They're the individual that says, goes the extra mile. Everything's the glory of God starts impacting everything. And when God brings you to the glory, it's not say, I'm Sam Reifkogel. Y'all know I pastor the great Grand Rapids. First, it is no, God, I'm going to be off the face of the map one day, God. And one day, God, all I want them to remember saw Jesus Christ. I want something they have in their life, and that glory is coming out of every single person to make him great. How many are ready to give him glory in this house and make him great? So let me just ask you, how many just want to have a blessed life? How many want to just have a blessed life? Come on, way up back. Come on home. How many just want a blessed life? Just a blessed life. Let me show you how to do that. It's not about you anymore. It's not about me. If you truly want to find happiness, you got to lay your life down for somebody else. And that's what Jesus did. 1 John 3:16, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. I don't know where you are with Jesus. I don't know where some of y'all watching online are with Jesus. I'm just so glad you didn't tune me out. But you're trying to search and you're trying to figure this out. And I've tried a lot, and there's a lot of us in here that have tried a lot of things and it just didn't work. But when we start discovering that, we start laying our lives down to Jesus Christ because he laid down his life first for us. And then we start realizing start laying our lives down for other people around us. And if you're married, for your husband, wife, for your parents, for your kids. If you're single, that you lay your life down for one another. When we start laying our lives down, we're going to find the greatest joy and happiness, and people are going to start being attracted to the Jesus that you truly want in your life to shine. How many believe, folks, we're getting better looking all the time, getting close to Jesus? Oh, tell the person beside you, don't believe, just tell me you're getting better looking all the time. The closer you get to Jesus, amen. You're looking good all the time. The world wants us.